We continue on in our Advent various themes. Obviously, peace, as Anne-Marie just sang about, is a big theme today, as well as our Advent wreath. And here's a verse for you from Isaiah 9, verse 6. You know this one. Famously in Handel's Messiah, "For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for the peace that we have in Jesus Christ in a world gone mad. Thank you that you are our peace. And Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see, spiritual ears that hear, everything you want to say to us through the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. And we pray all of this in the name of the one born in Bethlehem, our Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, saying, Amen. So again, second week in the traditional season of Advent. I know some of you didn't come from a more traditional background. This may be a little bit new to you. Advent, meaning in Latin, coming. And so it's a time when we prepare our hearts to receive Jesus anew. We like to decorate. We love our Advent wreath, all these kind of cool things. And again, the Advent wreath symbolizes various themes we want to touch upon each week. Last week was hope, and today is peace. The pink candle is joy, and then finally, love. And so we're incorporating those as well. And so thinking about peace today, this idea, in what do you find your peace? Or rather, in whom do you find your peace during the insanity of this season? Now, the world, as the video talked about, often thinks of peace simply as an absence of war. Well, obviously, in the Bible, it means a lot more than that. Jesus came to bring a different kind of peace. As the video talked about, he's bringing shalom, that Hebrew idea that of peace that fills our entire being in a way that the world cannot give us. And yet, the reality is, during the Christmas season, which should be a season of peace, it feels so warlike. Unlike the time, Billy. You know, my kids asked for a puppy several Christmases ago when they were young, and not surprisingly, it went rather poorly. It drove out all the peace from our home, and so I resolved the following Christmas that we would go back to the traditional spiral-cut ham. Vietnamese cuisine, anyone? Oh, you just destroyed the peace, man. You know, the Lord has reminded me this week of the importance of peace, and I thought about two figures, interestingly enough, this week. Thought about the preaching of Catholic Bishop Robert Barron that I've appreciated, and that of Dr. Billy Graham. Now, what I've noticed is if you listen to Billy Graham's short messages, Greg sometimes passes some on. One of the ones that he loves to talk about is peace with God, but, you know, I've listened to his messages from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and it's like he wrote them today. Those are called classics when they sort of span, you know, time as well. And then it got me thinking this week with Robert Barron's preaching. I'd never thought about this before, and it was that the Advent, the coming of Jesus, is timeless in the sense that Jesus' Advent concerns the past, the present, and the future, all aspects. Jesus' advent into the world offers us the matchless gift of peace with God. But have you noticed that the world's sort of version of the Advent Christmas season seems to offer everything but the peaceful shalom of Christ's coming? Kind of like the time. When a boy named Tommy visited Santa Claus at the local department store and declared, "I've been a good boy all year long. All's I want is a train set." Santa looked at Tommy's parents and they nodded in approval, and so Santa assured Tommy that he would receive a train set on Christmas morning. Well, Tommy was so excited that he would only play with his train set that morning, but the problem was he loved to play the part of a very rude conductor. As the train moved around the tree and into the station, he yelled, "Hurry up and get on board, you idiots." and make room for all the scurvy dogs who are getting off. His parents couldn't believe his language and how he ruined the peace of Christmas. They sent him to his room for 2 hours to think about his actions. And when he finally was allowed to come back out, he apologized and he resumed playing. But this time he had a much more respectful and peaceful demeanor. He said this, "Thank you, everyone, for riding on Tommy's railroad. Please, any of our fine passengers seeking to exit the train, you may do so now. Anyone getting on the train, please feel free to come aboard. And if you're wondering why the train is 2 hours late, please inquire of the old battle axe in the kitchen." It's the most wonderful time of the year. You know, it's easy to forget one of Jesus's titles. Isaiah 9, he's the Prince of Peace. And yet, why is it so many of our Christmases are anything but peaceful? Now, I do love the hymns. I love the hymns, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." But I thought about it this week, and I thought, could that really represent a lull in the storm? The Lord Jesus was born into this world, the first advent. It was a war-torn world. Isn't it interesting? After the angels sing "Peace on Earth," Luke 2. Then you go to Matthew 2, and you got Herod killing all the baby boys in Bethlehem after the wise men left, right? This reminds us that Jesus' birth, the first advent, the first Christmas into this world, was a very real and historical event. We can prove it. We can use secular, historical, and literary means outside of the Bible. Jesus was a real person, born into a real place, into a real time. He's not some sort of distant or legendary character. Paul tells us this, Galatians 4:4. "When the fullness of time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us," we talked about that last week, "those under the law, that we might be adopted as the children of God." Really, Jesus really came into time, in the fulfillment of the law, temple, and prophecy, to gather all things together in one great rescue operation as the climax of all history. Now, if you talk to people, especially non-Christian folk, they might say this, "Well, wasn't the fullness of time experienced in what scholars call the axial age?" Have you heard of this? 500 BC, lots of stuff going on. This was when many of the great religions were founded, when the Hebrew prophets were thundering out loud, and when Greek philosophy was at its height. Others might ask, isn't the fullness of time, wasn't that experienced in the 1700s and 1800s with the Industrial Revolution, the Scientific Revolution, and just political revolutions all over Europe? Isn't that the fullness of time? The Bible says no. It was at the first advent of Jesus Christ into the world. So Jesus is literally the fulcrum of history. You could say all history is his story, right? Even in our secular age today, we measure time by the first advent of Jesus Christ into history. Isn't that interesting? Advent 2024, because of the advent, the arrival of a baby into Bethlehem. Now, speaking of Advent 2024, this leads me to my second point in the message regarding Jesus' coming, his advent now. Right? Even unbelieving historians know that Jesus was a real historical figure, not some sort of legendary figment of our imagination. But to be fair, there are other key figures in world history. But let me ask you this, where is Caesar now? Where is Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Hitler, Stalin, probably in hell, but where are they now? They're not around. Their influence and their actions are no more. And yet Jesus is still Lord. He wants to come into your heart this Advent 2024 season. He's not an abstraction of the past. He's a living, present reality. Right? Consider that famous verse, Revelation 3:20. You might know it. Right? Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and I do what? Knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in with that person. They'll be with me and I'll be with them." The point of Advent season really is this. Jesus is doing this to your heart. will you let him in? You have that choice. You have been given that free will. You have the 100% control on whether you unbolt the door of your heart to Jesus or whether you keep it locked up, right? Jesus says, I'll come in. I will sit with you as your friend, but even more so as the Lord of your life. Here's the thing, though. Doors can be funny things in our lives, can't they? Waiting can be hard in life. Now, do any of you, this is an interesting thing. Does anyone keep a traditional Advent calendar? Is that still a thing? Like three of you? That's it? That used to be a big thing. You know, it helps the kids wait. Each day you get to open a little door and you get a little chocolate or a little prize. But I think this year will be the last year of that tradition for me. I bought a Russian Advent calendar this year and found out that every time I opened a little door, a Russian oligarch fell out. That was rude. And then to put the cherry on top, I tried a Jehovah Witness themed Advent calendar, but then I had serious second thoughts, like life. When they knocked, I decided not to open the door, right? I don't know. Some traditions fade away. Jesus never does. You may say, well, my life is a mess, Jim. Well, so what? Have you forgotten that Jesus' first coming was into a filthy animal stable? That's your heart. That's my heart. A filthy stable. Will you give Jesus access to the stable of your heart this year? Wanderers, come home. Open the door. Let him in. This is Advent 2024. This is Jesus' coming right now. Or will you ignore and forget this greatest of all gifts, this advent of Jesus into your heart now? Here we go, kind of like the time when a man forgot to buy his wife a Christmas present. You've been warned, guys, just helping out the brotherhood here, forgot to buy a Christmas present, so he got up quietly on Christmas morning and he headed to Walgreens to find something. Right? He described his desperate situation to the only employee unlucky enough to be working on Christmas morning. He said he wanted to buy something quickly in order to get back home before his wife woke up and noticed he was gone. The worker was sympathetic, pulled out a $100 bottle of perfume. Much to his surprise, the man shook his head and said, "That's a little pricey for me. Do you have anything less expensive?" Worker pulled out another bottle of perfume, said, "This one's only $50. Again, the man asked for something less expensive. Worker pulled out another bottle and said, "This one is only $10. And yet, much to the worker's surprise, he shook his head and he said, "What's the cheapest thing in the store you have right now?" So the Walgreens employee put the perfume away calmly and placed a mirror into the hand of that cheap man. And that, my friends, is how the Grinch stole the peace and joy of Christmas from his wife this year. Don't be a Grinch. The final advent has usually been called the second advent of Jesus or the second coming of Christ. To be sure, we've talked about this, Matthew 25:36. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. Having said that, the Bible is absolutely clear that Jesus will return a second time, a final advent. Time is marching on. It's coming to its fulfillment. The story of all stories is unfolding. So, you've heard me say something like this before. Let me say it again. If you see some ridiculous so-called prophecy book in the new year, here's one. It's going to come out, Dwight. 25 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 2025. Burn it. It's false prophecy. It just drives me nuts. We are commanded to wait and watch for when Jesus will return and usher in the fulfillment of all time and space, gathering everything into finally a coherent narrative. Right? While we're awaiting the Lord's second advent in glory, here's what we are to do. We are to arrange and order our lives in the light of that truth. How are you arranging and ordering, and what choices are you making as if this were the most important truth of all, which it is, right? The good news is that this is God's purpose, his will for you in Christ Jesus. Simple. Do you want peace, purpose, and power in your life? Then you must orient your life to the truth and certainty of Jesus' final advent, right? Only Jesus can be your Prince of Peace, of peaceful shalom. We try and fill our lives with everything but God, and we wonder why it doesn't work. It was never meant to work, right? We talked about that last week. That's the substance of idolatry and addiction. We take good things that God has given us and we lean really hard on them in ways that he never intended, and they don't work. Only Jesus can be your Prince of Peace. Jesus says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you," not the peace that the world says it gives you. "So don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." This is a crazy time, kind of unlike the time, Billy. When a man asked his wife if she would like a necklace for Christmas, and she said, "Nothing would please me more." Taking that rather literally, he got her nothing. And that's how all the peace was driven from that man's Christmas. So don't be a Scrooge, guys. I'm grinding an axe, yes. So remember, the peace of Advent is really three things. It is the past, that's why we celebrate this. It is now, right this moment, and it is in the future with Jesus' second coming. First Christmas, Jesus is here. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Will you let him in? And Jesus is coming again in the future to bring the whole story together. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for this day, this second Sunday in Advent. We are glad to be in your house. We're glad to be with one another, to praise you, to encourage each other, to consider truths of your word. Thank you for your coming, Jesus, and thank you that that's not just some distant historical event. It's right now. And not only that, you will usher in the end of the time, end of all time with your second coming. So we think about the three advents of Jesus today. We give you thanks and praise in the name of the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, saying, amen.